Welcome to the podcast of Grace Covenant Church, where we are transformed by God's grace, connected through relationships, and committed to service.
I'm Sarah Wampler, and I'm a sophomore at Westlake High School, and I went with about 30 other students from our high school and Grace Youth, and we went to Houston, and we got to do a lot of sharing of the gospel and of Jesus with homeless people and inner city kids, and we did a lot of prayer for people too, and we shared a skit with several different groups, and several of the people on the trip shared their testimonies of how they came to know Christ with people. And another great thing that we did was we prayed for Planned Parenthood there, and we got to do a prayer walk around it. And it was really intimidating at first because it's such an evil place and there's such an obvious presence of just darkness there. But as we prayed for it, there was just kind of a lightness that we felt, and that was an awesome part of the trip. And then on the last night that we were there, we got to pray outside of a brothel in Houston, and that was also crazy because you don't usually talk about brothels or even know that they exist, but we got to pray outside of one. So when we were there on Tuesday night, we went downtown and we talked to a lot of people who were homeless and who were just wandering around downtown. But we came across one woman named Renee, and the first thing she said was, "No, you know, you don't have to pray for me, I'm not homeless." But we talked to her anyways, and she told us that she works with the homeless downtown in Houston. And so as we were talking, we asked her if we could pray for her. So we all laid hands on her. And after we prayed, her eyes were full of tears. And she just said, "Thank you, I feel so much lighter." And you could just tell she was so impacted that a group of teenage kids had come down to Houston to serve God and to pray for people who they had never met and who didn't have anything to do with their lives. And she just was obviously so thankful and grateful for just kind of that moment of uplifting.
On Wednesday night of our mission trip, we went out to the streets of Houston to do an outreach to the homeless, and we prayed for them and gave them food and drink, talked to them a little bit. And so we did this for a couple hours, and towards the end of the trip, we went all back to the bus, and we were waiting to get ready to leave, and another adult leader and I saw this man named Tony, and we went up and talked to him before we were about to leave. And so we talked to Tony a little bit about his life, and we told him about us a little bit. And towards the end, we were like, "Oh, we need to leave soon, can we pray for you?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And so he's like, "Make sure you pray for just big things. Like, I need some guidance on what I want to do with my life. I'm out of a job right now." And then he said, "Oh, don't pray for the small things. Like, I can get my sleeping bag even though it was stolen. God gave me intelligence to do something like that." And so we prayed for him and about the big things. And then we prayed for him to get a sleeping bag anyways, even against his wishes. And so we didn't really think anything of it at the time. And Tony walked off. And less than a minute later, a van pulled up with a bunch of sleeping bags in it. So the adult leader and I, we ran over, we grabbed one, and we went to find Tony to make sure he got a sleeping bag. And so we ran down the alleyway past all the homeless people and who wanted it. And we got to Tony, and Tony was very thankful, and so we had to go back. And so later that night, I was really thinking about it, and I realized that the big things and small things are important. And I know for me, I know I need to pray about where I need to go to college. That's a big decision for me. But also some things that I don't really think about that much, like who my roommate is, it's not that important to me. But I realize that I do need to pray for it because God could do things with that, and it's really important to God because it affects me. And so I realize that regardless of whether I think it's a big decision or whether I think it's a small decision, I need to have faith in God and pray about it.
The thing that impacted me the most about the trip through praying with other people was just the realization of how I'm not better than anyone else there. And it's easy to think that because they're homeless or they've had really rough lives and they've done things that I've never have done or never, I hope, will do. But I still realize that just laying my hands on them and praying for them, that I'm the same place that they are, and that without God's mercy through Christ, that I'm nothing better than they are, and that Christ is the only reason that I could be there loving on them and talking to them. And so it was just a realization of also of Christ's humility when he came down to earth and dealt with people like us who are very messed up and who needed him. And so it was just a great realization of my need for humility.
You know, there's something that I have a really hard time understanding. Why don't you pray more than you do? You know, what's your excuse? Is it because you're too busy? Why don't you just take something off your schedule? Slow down. Make it happen. Is it because you're too tired, maybe? With all the things that you've got going on, you don't have the energy to do it? Maybe you just don't feel like doing it. There's something that you'd always rather be doing, something easier, something more enjoyable. Or maybe it's just that you're not trying hard enough. Maybe that's it. Maybe you don't really want a better relationship with God, or else you'd be praying more. Have you ever had a conversation like that? Not with someone else, of course, or with a crowd of people, but with yourself? I tell you, I have various renditions of that conversation with myself quite regularly. And if it's not time, it's energy, or it's my emotions, or it's my will, or I come up with all these different reasons, these great factors for why I'm not praying more than I do. And I just get tired of feeling guilty and frustrated about my prayer life, when I think what God would want me to feel is a sense of peace and closeness with Him. You ever feel that? I bet a lot of us here end up feeling guilty quite a bit about the status of our prayer lives. And we wish that it was better than it is. But what if time and energy and emotions and will, what if those aren't the real problems with our lame prayer lives? What if those aren't the real issues? What if the real issue is something much deeper and more important than any of those things? That's what Jesus proposes when he's addressing a very large crowd of people who are also very frustrated with their prayer lives, who aren't praying all that much and blaming a bunch of different things probably. And he doesn't talk about busy calendars. He doesn't talk about demanding jobs or home life. He doesn't talk about the fact that they don't have the right emotions involved. They're not feeling the right things. He doesn't say it's because of insufficient willpower. What he thinks is the reason that they're not praying more is because of their theology. Because of what they are believing about God, he's saying that's the reason you're not praying more than you do. And today we're going to be looking at a passage about this topic, about this issue. And in this passage, what Jesus does is he tells us two things about prayer that we have to hear. Okay, and there's a bunch he doesn't say about prayer. All right, he doesn't answer some of the big questions that you might have about why God does and doesn't answer some of your prayers. We're not going to be talking about that today. But we will be talking about these two things that Jesus says we've got to know about our prayer lives if they're going to get any better. And the first thing that he says is that we need to be praying persistently. And then he gets involved in our theology. In the second point, he gets into this incorrect theology that's behind the reason that we're not praying more, that we're not praying persistently. And he starts making some adjustments in that theology. Because he knows that the only way that we're really going to pray persistently is if we start thinking and believing differently about God. And so right now, let's look at that first point that Jesus makes, that we need to be praying persistently. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, you guys can follow along with me. Matthew 7, 7 through 8, Jesus says this. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So Jesus says, the things that you need, the things that are on your heart, you need to be bringing them to God. You need to ask God. Ask God to help with those things. That's what he says. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, no. Don't just ask. I want you also to be seeking. But don't just seek either. I also want you to be knocking. And by now, his audience is thinking, okay, we get it. When we've got something we need to come to God with that. But he didn't stop there. He says it again. He says, no, really, ask, seek, knock. What do you need? What's on your heart? Would you just bring that to God? Would you bring it to him? He says it six different times because that's how many times it needed to be heard, and that's how often he wants us to be talking to God. That's what he's trying to get us to do. But it's not the only thing. The only thing that stands out here is not just that he's telling us a number of different times that we need to be praying. He also adds this strength and intensity and persistence to each verb that he uses for prayer. So he starts with first he says, look, just ask. Ask God for what you need. humbly come to God and tell him what you need. Just ask him. And then second, he says, seek. Would you seek God? Really, it's this more intense pursuit of God. It's getting off your knees and it's going out and finding God and saying, God, this is what I need. Seek him. And then third, he says, knock. Really, knock on God's door. Keep knocking. It means to persist in this asking and this seeking. He says, knock. If he hadn't answered, just go ahead. Keep knocking on that door. And so if you're a senior graduating from high school or you're brand new to the Austin area and you know you need a great friend, what would Jesus tell you to do with that need? He'd tell you to ask, right? God, I need a trusted friend, somebody I can walk through life with. Would you give me that? Please, would you? And then if God has an answer to that prayer, he'd say, hey, come on, seek. Go back to God with that need. Put yourself in a place where you can find a great friend and then say, God, here I am. Here I am. Would you give me a great friend right here, right now? Would you do that? And if that prayer is still not answered, he says, knock. Come on, God. You know I need a friend. I'm brand new to this place. Would you help me? Would you give me somebody that I can trust? Somebody I can share my life with? Somebody who will pray for me? Somebody I can pray for? Knock, he says. And this kind of persistent praying that Jesus says that we ought to be doing, it can almost feel like you're bordering on annoying God. You know what I mean? I mean, you just keep coming back to him. It's like, God's just, he's going to get frustrated with me at some point. But that kind of persistent prayer that borders on annoying God, that's exactly the kind of prayer that Jesus says we ought to be praying. And seminary professor Walter Wink, this is what he has to say about that kind of prayer. Listen to this. He says, the fawning etiquette of unctuous or flattering prayer is utterly foreign to the Bible. Biblical prayer is impertinent, persistent, shameless, and decorous. It is more like haggling in an Oriental bazaar than the polite monologues of the churches. Have you ever haggled in a bazaar? You know just how shameless and persistent you have to be if you have. A number of years ago, I was in China. I did some haggling in a bazaar. I found a cross at this Chinese bazaar, and I didn't even know they made crosses in China. Apparently they do. I found this cross, and I had a close friend that collects crosses. I wanted that cross. It was $5, and I'd been told before going into this bazaar, you never buy anything at face value, right? So I started the negotiations. I grabbed the cross. I only had $3 in my pocket. The thing cost $5. So I said, $2. I'll give you $2 right now for this cross. He said, no. I said, all right, $2.25. I'll give you $2.25 right now for this cross. He said, $4.75. So I turned around and I walked away. Stayed away a couple minutes, made sure he didn't see me, came back in. I said, all right, I'll give you $2.50. I'll give you $2.75 for this cross, $2.75. He said, no, $4.25. I'm not going any lower than $4.25. So I turned around and I walked away again. I kind of hid, like out of sight for about 5 minutes, waited, and I came back. I grabbed the cross, I threw my $3 down, and I told him, I said, you got a deal. He just kind of looked at me, stared at me, had this awkwardly long period of silence. And then he said, fine, just get out of here. So I did with my $3 cross. I walked out of that bazaar. Jesus says, look, he says, ask, seek, knock. Come on, be persistent, be shameless. Really, haggle with God. It's fine. You can try to annoy God. Go for it. See if you can. You won't. See if you can annoy God. That's how persistent he wants our praying to be. And then after Jesus has made this point, then he gets into that theology that's messed up. That theology that's keeping them from really praying with this kind of persistence. And maybe it's keeping us from praying with this kind of persistence. And what he says is, what's wrong with their theology is that they didn't really believe that God was all that good. And so Jesus, he tells them, he says, look, God is a good God. And he gives good gifts. He really does. So whatever you have, whatever you need, whatever's on your heart, man, bring that to him. Because he's a good God. He wants to give you good things. Why don't you look at verses 9 through 11 with me of Matthew 7. Verses 9 through 11. Jesus says this, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See, we should persistently pray to God and ask God for what we need because he's a good God and he gives good gifts. Jesus promises that that is the case. And really, he makes his point, you know, pretty simply, really. He makes this assumption that you parents out there, that you know how to give good gifts to your kids. So parents, let me ask you a question. When your kids were young and they were going to bed and they asked for some milk before bedtime, did you ever lace their milk with cyanide before giving it to them? No, of course you didn't. Or when your daughter turned 16 and you bought her first car, did you sneak out to the garage before she ever had a chance to drive it and cut the brake lines? Did you do that? No, of course you didn't. And Jesus says, though you're evil, though you sin, though you make foolish decisions, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. They're really good at that. So how about God? How about your heavenly Father? He's not evil at all. In fact, he is the definition of good, right? We know what good is because of who God is. And so if he's perfectly perfect, he must give perfectly perfect gifts. He gives really good gifts. He really does. So it's kind of ridiculous to think that we wouldn't keep praying and praying and praying some more to God. Right? I mean, if we truly believed and we truly understood that God is good and that he gives really good gifts, I mean, you wouldn't be able to stop us from praying, right? I tell you, we'd start and we'd end our day with prayer. We'd have a lot of our energy being expended on talking to God, right? We wouldn't have to wait until we felt like it. We'd feel like it all the time. We wouldn't have to try. It'd just come naturally. It'd come easily and freely to us. We certainly wouldn't be able to call prayer a spiritual discipline any longer, right? I mean, it'd take about as much discipline to pray as it would to redeem a winning lottery ticket. It'd take as much discipline to pray as it would to turn in a final exam at the end of class when you knew every single answer. Those things don't take discipline, right? They only hold benefit for you. You wouldn't be able to stop us from praying if we really believed that God is good and that he only gives good gifts. And so what God is doing is he's waiting. He's just waiting for us to ask. He really is. Because he can't wait to give us good gifts. He can't wait for us to come to him and ask and seek and knock, knowing that he will only give us good things. That's all he'll give us. And so he says, come on, let me in there, you know? Let me in. I can help you with this. Please, just ask me. I know it's a bit crass and irreligious, but if you ever watch like professional tag team wrestling, you've kind of seen this happening a little bit, where a guy's in the ring, right, and he's just getting a beat down, and what's his teammate doing? He's outside of the ropes, right? But he's like reaching in there saying, come on, man, tag me. Let me in there. I'll help you. You just got to tag me, right? And that's what God's doing. He's waiting on the outside of these ropes, and that's what he's saying to us. He's saying, come on, I'm right here. Would you just tag me? Let me in. Come on, I'll help you with this right here. I've got good things for you. I will help you. Because he's a good God. And he gives good gifts. And he's just waiting for us to ask. My wife and I, after we had our first kid, we were trying to have another little one. And my wife, without telling me, started praying that God would either give us twins or a girl. We got pregnant. And guess what we had? We had twins. After we got pregnant with twins, Dana said, hey, by the way, I don't know if I told you this, but I've been praying that God would give us twins. I said, Dana, could you let me know these kinds of things before you start praying them? I mean, that, you know, at least I could maybe start praying against you, if nothing else. I mean, really, we've got two human beings now that we're responsible for the rest of our lives. We got pregnant again after that, and guess what we had that time? We had a girl. Twins and a girl, just like Dana prayed. You know, the problem with my wife, she believes Jesus. She really does. She believes God is good and that he gives good gifts. And they just want us to be asked. And so that's what she did. And he answered. So where are you? And what do you need? What's on your heart? What's giving you a beat down? What's exhausting you? God says, come on, bring that to me. Come on. Just tag me. Let me in there. I want to help. And so if you're in a dating relationship right now and feeling like maybe the next step is marriage, but you're uneasy about that, you're stressed out about the decision, you're not sure exactly what God wants in that relationship, would you ask? Would you ask God to get in there and to help you with that decision? He'll help you. He will. Or if you're at odds with someone at work or at school or home or something like that, and you're in this conflict and you don't know how to get out, you don't know what the next step is to make this thing right, would you seek? Would you seek God out about that? Look, he'll help you figure out what the next step is to make this thing right. He will. And if you keep getting angry with your spouse and your kids and you've been trying so hard to stop, but willpower is not getting you there, would you knock? Would you keep knocking? Would you say, God, please take this anger away from me? Would you do that? God's just waiting for you to ask. Look, he cares a lot more about getting rid of that anger than you do. Or if you're hurting financially and there's something that you need that you can't afford, would you ask? I mean, really, he cares about sleeping bags in Houston. He cares about whatever it is that you need that you can't afford. Just ask him. He cares about the small stuff and the big stuff. Or if you've been out of a job for a while and you've been looking and you just can't find anything, would you seek? Would you seek God out about that? Say, God, please, would you open a door for me? Would you help me to find something? Just something to afford to live, if nothing else. And if you've got a kid that's been walking away from God for a while and is distant from God, maybe even antagonistic towards him, come on, right? Knock. Keep knocking on that door. God wants to get in there and help. He really does. Would you keep knocking, even if you've been praying for that thing for a very long time? You see, what Jesus wants us to do is he just wants us to ask him to help all the time. Ask, seek, knock. Just look, he says, trust me. I'm a good God, and I give very good gifts. I just need you to trust me. And yet, I know that some of you have been praying for something for years now. And God hasn't answered. And as far as you can tell, this is something that would be in God's will. It's something that's good. And you can't figure out why God's not answering. And you're confused, and you read Matthew 7, and you're frustrated. There are a lot of factors involved in situations like that. It can be quite complex. But one thing I can definitely tell you is that as a good father, God is always behind the scenes working on your behalf. He's always back there working on your behalf. Even when all that you hear and see and sense is silence, is nothing. He's always working on your behalf. About 5 years ago, Dana and I started praying for reconciliation in a relationship very close to us. It was a family member of Dana's. And 5 years ago, we started praying really hard for reconciliation. And we knew that this thing was really, really broken. And that if anything was going to change in this relationship, it was going to have to be because God got in there and started mixing things up. That was the only way things were going to get better. And so we just kept praying. And we kept praying. We kept asking. We kept seeking. We kept knocking. And 5 years later, now just 2 weeks ago, we finally found a reconciliation in this relationship. And it was an incredible moment. And what was so awesome about it is that what we found out is that 5 years before, this family member of Dana's, this family member met a fourth person. God introduced them to a fourth person that they ended up growing a friendship with this family member. And it was this fourth person that God used 5 years later to finally convince this family member to make reconciliation happen with Dana and me. And we just kind of sat back and we grinned and we laughed and just had a great time seeing how God had been working over those 5 years. Because he's a good father, right? And he's always working behind the scenes. Even when all that you hear is silence, he's always back there working. He's always working on your behalf because he's a good God and he only gives good gifts. That's what he promises. So what are you going to do tomorrow? You're going to ask? You're going to seek? You're going to knock? Look, he won't give you a snake. He's not going to give you a rock. Hey, why don't we start that right now? whatever God's put on your heart, whatever it is that you need to keep praying about and keep asking him about, why don't you take a moment and why don't you ask him about that right now? Seek him. Knock. Okay, knock on his door. And as the ushers come forward, and you guys take a few moments to do that, I'll close this in prayer. Okay.
For more information about Grace, visit our website at grace360.org.